is Road to the Draft with Cal Toomey and Matt Edwards.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Road to the Draft, episode 2 for 2018, right here on afl.com.au. My name's Nat Edwards, and joining me in the studio, as always, is Callum Tombstone Toomey. How are you?
Geez, that was good there, Nat. I like that one. Sorry we didn't have a podcast last week for everyone who was keen.
Yeah, it was Cal's fault.
I'm not sure about that. We were ready to go on Tuesday, and obviously last week Anzac Day sort of interrupted the week on Wednesday, so we couldn't do Wednesday. We were going to do Tuesday, but you're off on something to be the next female prime minister or something.
It's called the Emerging Leaders Program. But yeah, I'd love to be prime minister. No, that would be the worst job in the world, being prime minister, I reckon. Mm. Anyway, we do have a special guest who's just looking at us rolling his eyes.
What have I got myself into for the next half an hour?
It is, of course, Luke Power, the NAB AFL Academy coach. Luke, thanks for coming in once again. We love having you in. How are you?
Yeah, really well. I was just shaking my head. I think Kel's words were Anzac Day interrupted the week. That's quite disappointing.
A nod to the veteran.
I bought my poppy on the way to the game last week, and I couldn't wear it because I was wearing like a satin shirt, so I didn't want to freak the shirt, but I did buy one.
Very important day in Australia's history.
Mm.
You're wearing a satin shirt?
We'll get to my clothing later, I think. Okay. Luke has an opinion on my clothing style as well, but yeah, we'll save that till last. Now, Luke, we've got you in because there's a bit been happening with the NAB AFL Academy over the first few months of the year, including the US trip that was in January, and the boys for this year's draft came together and played a really great game against North Melbourne's VFL side earlier this month. And also you've just been in New Zealand, which we'll get to shortly. Let's go back to start. The US trip in January, it was... having been on it and seeing the guys, it was a pretty impressive tour and really impressive group. What did you make of them, and what can you tell us about this year's class?
This year's class, they just seem to be able to take information on board and be able to execute really quickly, which was really pleasing. We had a massive focus in terms of football in the States about talking about the defensive side of the game. I like to free young players up until they're final year, their draft year, to just play and to show what they can do offensively, and also teach them about the contest. But we focused a lot on the defensive game, and obviously the message to them was that the quicker you can learn to become good defensively, the sooner that you'll play when you get to the opportunity to play senior football. So they took things on board really quickly, and It was really pleasing. We obviously got to enjoy some other experiences, which will be good for them. And they came back and obviously bonded a little bit more. And it was good that they could roll that into the game against North Melbourne VFL and play some really decent footy.
Who impressed you on that trip? I know you're going to say, you love them all.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Was there anyone that I guess came out of their shell a little bit, or just grew up a little bit on the trip, or anything like that?
There's a few, I guess, but be a little bit more pointed than that. I'm impressed by a lot of them. I think usually when you get groups like this in, you have five or six who sort of show each other, show the others the way.
Yep.
But in this group, I reckon we got about 20 kids who just turn up, and off the back of that, other players join in and they just go out there and they work really hard, and they every time they come to train, they get the job done, and it's to a really high level. And I think it's probably unfair to point too many out. I'll let you ask me about them, but as a group, I just think they're really, really impressive.
Let's ask about a few of these guys. Might as well start with the top group, because there is a top group that sort of has sort of set itself, I think, and Jack Lukosius is one of them. A tall prospect, can play at both ends of the ground, has done it at senior footy level already. What can you tell listeners about Jack and his footy progress?
His footy's going really well, obviously. He's a high-end talent. Probably the thing I like about Jack is he's just a really level-headed, laid-back kid. I know that I had to play him back in the first half of the game against North Melbourne VFL. He probably hadn't played back for a while. For Woodville West Torrens, he's been playing as a forward and being able to hit the scoreboard. But I started him back for the first half because we were a little bit short on key defenders, and the plan was to swap him at halftime with Nick Blakey, which we did. And then what I was having to do with one of the key forwards when Ben King came off the ground, because North were quite tall up forward, I was having to push one of the tall forwards behind the ball. So Max King did it for a while, and then I started doing it with Jack. And we got towards the end of the game, and Jack was on the bench, and he was about to go back on. He probably actually hadn't played forward that much, which is his favourite position. But when I turned to him and said, are you happy to go behind the ball, or do you just want to play as a forward, he turned back to me and said, I'll do whatever you want me to do, which is really impressive. So that's probably the thing that stood out the most about Jack for me. As good a player as he is, he's still prepared to sacrifice his game for the team.
Sam Walsh is one of the most respected players within his own cohort, you can just tell. What can you tell us about Sam as a player?
Yeah, obviously when you get voted as captain, it's one thing, but when you're voted in by your peers, it's another thing. And Sam was unanimously voted in as captain by these kids in this intake, which was really impressive. He's been voted in for a lot, actually. He's just about taken home most of the awards. So, but it's a credit to him. And you talk about turning up, it just doesn't matter any place, any time. Sam just turns up to play, and I think that just shows out in the results that he's had during the year. He just never plays a bad game. He's a special player. He uses the ball better than I think people realise.
Is there a midfielder who, I know you've seen some of the best young midfielders come through your time at the Giants, particularly in the last 5 or 6 years. Is there one that reminds you of Sam, or Sam reminds you of him?
For different reasons. Probably Simon Black as a young kid. I think different in a lot of ways. I think
he'll like that because he's a big Brisbane supporter.
he is.
Photos of Blackie up on his fridge and everything like
that
at home.
Blackie's probably was a little bit harder off the field than Sam. You'll laugh when you hear me say that. But just in terms of mental strength for a young player, I probably haven't seen a person prepared to work as hard as when sort of I got to work with a young Simon Black back in the Brisbane days.
You mentioned Max King before, obviously terrible news coming through probably a couple of weeks ago now, that he's done his ACL and will miss the rest of the season. What kind of character is he, and how well do you think he'll be able to deal with the next sort of, you know, 8 to 10 months sitting there watching while everyone else is playing and showing their wares?
Yeah, he's a really strong character. The good thing about Max is that it's not just all about footy, and he's got other things going on in his life. Obviously a really important year with his year 12, and now he'll just be able to sit back and focus a little bit more on his studies and being successful at that, and also at the same time doing a little bit of rehab. So yeah, out of a lot of the kids, I think he'll be probably one of the most who's least affected by this. He'll miss the enjoyment of getting to go and play week to week and play with his mates, and probably most importantly get to play with his brother. It might be the last time possibly that those two get to play together. So yeah, that'll be tough for him. But I think, you know, in terms of the person he is, he's got a broad view on life and a holistic view, and I think that'll really help him be able to get through the year, and I'm sure it'll probably take a bit of pressure off. I know it's helped Ben. Ben's gone forward and kicked 18 in the last 2 weeks, so I think Ben's happy, not with Max's injury, obviously, but happy not to have to play back.
And he's in the spotlight now, more so than his brother.
Well, everyone likes a forward, don't they? But Isaac Rankin's an interesting one as well, because on the trip I found him one of the quieter members of the group. He sort of just goes about his business a little bit, but then when the footies come out, he's all business. Tell us about him, because he has had an interrupted start to the season, interruption with a suspension, but now he came back and kicked 4 in his sample game on return. So he's just a quality player.
He did. It was pleasing to see that he hit the scoreboard and did really well. Obviously, he got a suspension, which wasn't ideal, and missed our game against North Melbourne VFL.
He's the best credentialed runner going around, wasn't he?
He was, and I'll tell you what, there are a few fake messages being delivered in the end just to up his GPS. I think Brad Johnson and Peter Sumicher on the bench were sending him out every 15 seconds in the end as soon as he got back. And I reckon it took Isaac about 6 or 7 messages just to work out what they were what they were doing to him. So, no, it was good to see that he came back and played really, really well for West Adelaide the other day. Isaac's an interesting one. He's one of those kids that plays a lot of sport. Obviously, he basketball, footy, and was involved in a few sprint races.
He's run a few gifts, hasn't he?
Yeah, so most of our players, one of the reasons why we exist is to be able to manage our players and get them into AFL football, able to perform to their optimal level instead of being broken down. Obviously, we had a few cases of osteitis a few years back where kids were getting to the AFL having played too many games, and we probably couldn't get the best output from them. Isaac's one of those kids who I just say, do whatever you want, Isaac, because I know it keeps him happy.
Yeah.
He's got a body that seems to be able to push through most things. But he's one that you want playing as much as possible, because it's just what he loves to do, and it keeps him on the straight and narrow.
I guess the US trip, it's all about bonding, getting together, and the guys getting to know each other. And then you, obviously, as a coach, getting to know the guys better. You got to dish a little bit of dirt. Is there anyone that's the coach's pet that's, you know, been sucking up to you, sending you extra text messages or whatever, trying to get on your good side?
No, not really.
Come on, not really.
There's a lot of good characters.
Who goes for a kick down in, you know, Rye, or who do you spot down there for a...
Haven't had anyone since Jack Higgins.
Okay. Or even better, who do you think is going to be Cal's pet this year? Because we know it was Jack Higgins last year.
Well, I think he's got a few.
We've got a few this year. A couple of favourites. I'll tell you one that I think we both do like, and someone who on the trip was a personality, was Ned McHenry.
I was about to mention Ned. I went and watched Ned play for school on the weekend and was really impressed. He's a kid that... You know, he'll make himself better, but he'll make others better. And he's one of those kids that would just be a great person to have around a footy club. And when I went and watched him on the weekend, you know, you talk about Sam Walsh's work ethic. This kid has got just as good a work ethic. And he's got the personality to match, you know. But the thing I like about Ned is he knows the time when to be serious and knuckle down, and the time to have a bit of a laugh, which I quite take to.
Well, he's got a squeak as well, a squeaky little voice that you can hear above the rest of the change room.
Yeah,
so.
What's his little show called on?
The Falcon Files or something like that, isn't it? I'm sure he'll like us giving that one a plug.
Have to have a listen.
Now, the game against North Melbourne was a bit of a breakthrough, because the team hadn't won for a long time against its VFL opponents, and it was a really strong performance. Often in these games, Nat, the academy comes out all guns firing and goes on the first quarter, and then the adrenaline wears off and the big embodies get on top of them. But it didn't happen that way. How pleased were you with that sort of performance? Because it was an all-round game as well, because so many players contributed.
Yeah, pleased with the performance, but also more pleased with the way that they played. They played a really good brand of footy, obviously used the ball really well, and the fundamentals of the game, which we've been working on over the last few years, really stood out. I mean, to kick 100 points on the MCG, I think it's a really, really good effort for a young side. Mm. It's obviously a big ground. And I know that at the moment in AFL, they're talking about, you know, how players' fundamentals aren't as good. So that's definitely a focus of this program. So probably the way that we did it, and also just the boys' ability after only knowing each other for such a short time, and there being so much on the line individually as well as for the team, to come together and play as a team and not put themselves above the greater good was really, really impressive. And I guess the message there, and I know it's a message that Lee Matthews gave to us when he first came to the Brisbane Lions, was that team success comes before individual success. And if you play well as a team, more individuals will get recognised off the back of it.
Now, we love our father sons, and there's quite a few in this year's draft pool. I know Doggies fans are very excited to see how Riley West is tracking. Can you give us an update on his progress and how he did in that game?
In the game, he was terrific. I mean, if he had have kicked his goals, he was probably our best player.
He got things moving, didn't he?
By a fair way. His work around the contest, and there was a few of them, you know, that I targeted in the pre-game that we're going to need to match North Melbourne's mids physically. And Jai Caldwell, one of them, Jack Bytel, Luke Valente, Jackson Haitley, you know, a few of those bigger-bodied midfields. And I probably got him going in the right way, because I started Riley on the bench, and I reckon he was willing to show me, prove to me that he shouldn't have been there. And I've got to say that I apologise, Riley. I should have started you on the ground.
No, it worked.
Because he came on all guns blazing, and as I said, if he had finished off with his goals and kicked his shots, then he would have been our best player by a fair way.
He seems like he's in that top bracket of midfielders now. He's started the season really well. I sort of wasn't as sure about where he fitted in come January, but because he's developed that inside game and continues to get the footing, he's just so rugged. He reminds me a little bit of Jack Viney, the way he plays.
Yeah, no doubt. His intensity is unbelievable. I mean, I heard, I think it was Steve Wallace, who said to me, Mitch's father, obviously, and a very good player in his own right, obviously, for the Dogs back in the day.
Would have watched him a bit at St. Kevin's.
Yeah, well. He said he's never seen a kid try harder when his team's losing, yeah, right. Which, you know, wow, is pretty impressive. And I guess it's a big tick in terms of Riley's character.
Nick Blakey has absolutely brained him at the Academy Series, which you'd probably expect him to do. He's kicked 12 goals in two games, has rested on the weekend. Where do you think he plays his best footy? There's North fans, there's Brisbane fans, there's Sydney fans all listening to this podcast wondering and hoping if he goes to their club where he might fit in. Where do you see his position long term?
I think he plays his best footy forward at the moment because he's a goal kick. It's a beautiful kick, left-footed kick. Much better kick than his old man. but he's a lovely kick of the ball, and he's got a beautiful arc and marks the ball and launches himself at the ball overhead. You know, he's a tough kid. He's not afraid to put himself into some pretty suspect positions at times when the ball's in the air. I think as a forward, but I think that he's got the luxury to go up and spend time on the wing and potentially, you know, halfback in time. But at the moment, I think he's a forward. But I like the fact that the Swans Academy over the last few weeks have been willing to try him in different positions.
Bailey Scott's another one that's available to a couple of clubs as well. Tell us a little bit about him.
Bailey's going really well. He started really well in the Academy game and really gave us a little bit of outside run early. And he's taken a little bit of form into the Academy series. He's copped a lot of attention, I think, in the last few weeks from opposition teams. Okay. But obviously, you know, when you're a really well known young player and you're a good young player, that's probably going to be part and parcel. And I guess the thing that, you know, we need to keep working through with him is that it's actually a really big mark of respect to have someone go. And, you know, if that's the way that he's rated, you know, by the opposition, I think it's a really good thing and a really good sign for where he's at the moment.
He's a pretty studious sort of kid, though, isn't he? He gets footy.
Studying engineering, yeah. So he's definitely got me covered. He's talking to me on the phone the other day about physics. I said, you're losing me. And then he lost me. And then I had to hang up because I got a little bit left behind. Might have been going through the Burnley Street Tunnel.
Oh, of course, yeah.
That's what I told him. But
you're cutting out there. But yeah.
Sorry.
And the good thing about him, he's such a good finisher and he hits the scoreboard when he gets opportunities.
Now, there's a couple of NGA players as well that you've had under your wing as part of the National Academy in Isaac Quayner, Buku Kamas, who watched play on the weekend as well for the Western Jets. Isaac's for the Oakley Chargers, eligible to Collingwood, Buku to the Dogs. A little bit about their progress.
Got both going really well, massive signs of improvement. I thought Isaac played really well against North Melbourne. He's taken that back to club footy. The good thing about Isaac is he's so athletic. He can play on talls and smalls, and he's very clean. And I reckon the difference between this year and last year, I reckon Lee Clark has done a really good job with him at Oakley. He's starting to run off and get opportunities and start to defend a little bit through his offense too. But I think the important thing, if Isaac's listening, is always come back to defend first.
They always listen, Luke.
So he's going really well, and he's really clean. So he doesn't make mistakes, which has been a really impressive part of his game. He took a few really good grabs overhead in that North Melbourne game. And Buku just keeps going from strength to strength. I know the experience of going down and training at the Dogs has been really good. He's played centre-half back, and I think he went forward the other day and did really well too, and he's starting to learn when to defend his man and when to be able to influence his teammates' contests in the air.
Before we get to the New Zealand trip, one more on this year's class. Jason Carter, Fremantle NGA. What can you tell Dockers fans about what might be coming their way later in the year?
Yeah, so I was pleased with Carts in the North Melbourne game, not so much because he had a lot of the ball or what he did was great, but a couple of his efforts to get back and chase when things didn't go his way were just a really good sign for me. At the moment, he's back with Peel Thunder 18s, so he's sort of plying his trade there. It's just about continual improvement for Jason. I know it's important part of his game is because he does have so much speed. His pace is as good as anyone's I've seen at this age level. It's important that because he is doing everything so fast, he just manages to be able to be clean and also get his kicking right at full speed.
So you've been off getting your velocity points, racking them up, because you were in New Zealand last week. You got back last Wednesday. It was a week-long camp in Wellington, and you had a very good win over the New Zealand Hawks, 21-21, 147. That was the academy score, defeating New Zealand 6-6-42. That was huge.
It wasn't always huge, though, and it's a great experience, this New Zealand game, and we go over there. It coincides with Anzac Day, so we take him to the dawn service on the last day, and I guess it sort of reiterates what our program's all about. It's not just about footy, which is great, and we'll help him as much as we can with the footy, but it's about off-field too.
Yep.
And getting to learn about themselves as people. So it's a really good camp. In terms of culture, the New Zealand team did the haka before the game, but our players, which I don't stand with the players for because I'm over the back in the third row. But our players early were probably, a little bit flustered, because they came out quite aggressive. It's the first time for a lot of our players have had the opportunity to play against grown men. So early, the game was pretty hot. And added to that, New Zealand were probably bringing up a couple of players to put around the ball. So the tackle numbers were up early. It was like a game of rugby. So it was a good thing that our players didn't have it all their own way. And I think we only led by a point at quarter time and only kicked two goals. But
sort of later in that second term, you got away.
The longer the game went. Yeah. And it was just a really good message for our players that if things aren't working from the start, then if you keep, sticking to your structures and your standards and continue to get the small things, the fundamentals right, then, that's what you can do.
Now, Noah Anderson was named captain, had a very good game, kicked two goals. What can you tell us about him as a player? Isn't eligible to go to two father-son clubs. He's the son of Dean Anderson. Bad luck, Nat. Didn't play enough games at the Hawks nor the Saints, so they miss out on him, but he looks like a star in the making.
Yeah, so Dean Anderson was obviously a very good player for Hawthorn and St Kilda and probably one of the early big-bodied midfield wing types,
yep.
Who could run, who was athletic. And the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Noah's about 188, I think. Ran at 156 metres per minute during that game the other day, which is comparable to AFL standards. Oh. So he's an elite runner.
We've seen that at TAC Cup level already this year as well with the Chargers, haven't we?
I'm not surprised, yeah. And also he can get up both ways. He'll outnumber if the ball goes back, and he'll crunch back in when it goes forward and he hits the scoreboard. So, there's a lot to like about him. I was really impressed by the way that he led the boys with Matty Rowell and Hayden Young as his vice captains.
You mentioned those two. Matty Rowell's an absolute goer and will crack in as long as the day's long. And Hayden Young won the Cameron Lee medal too, which is a great achievement.
Yeah, really, really impressive footballers, but really impressive kids too. I mean, I know at the start of the game they came to me and they said they wanted the players to do their own little thing where they put their jumpers on together, which I've never had before.
Okay.
And they went into the room and they locked all the coaches out, which usually means probably one of two things. Either they're having a little ceremony or they're going to sack you when they get back out. So,
but we've had a discussion.
Exactly. So I was a little bit concerned about that. But they did a terrific job. I mean, Hayden played halfback for most of the game. His recovery as a halfback flanker is really, really good. And I know a couple of times when he turned the ball over, it was just up the other end like that, which was impressive. Nice user of the ball on his left. Matty Rowell is probably as mature as any young player I've seen. His ability to be able to work his way through pressure and absorb pressure. I mean, I went and watched him in two school games last year, and one he got hold of Paddy Dow and the other he got hold of Lockie Fogarty, who have both played some decent
AFL for you
this year as a year 10. So I'm sure that he's got a really good future ahead of him too.
Ryan Cox kicked four goals. Looks like an exciting young forward.
He did, yeah. Western Australian boy. And, it was pleasing to see. Wasn't too sure about his haircut when he came in. I don't know, have you seen the photos?
No,
so, I'm going to have a look now.
Yeah, go and have a look.
Can you describe it for us?
Had very short sides. Yeah, it was
a bit like yours at the minute.
No.
Your whole office has been talking about your haircut, and since New Zealand, you've come back with just a bit of a trim.
I haven't.
I got you there, Luke.
I need a trim though. I need a trim. So Ryan did really well. Ryan's got he's got some real talent, and if he wants to continue to work hard and dedicate himself to AFL, I'm sure that he'll be a really good player. He's one of those kids that sort of can create something out of nothing. At the moment, he plays deep forward, So I want to be able to get him up around the wing and on ball and to give him a little bit more consistency in games.
Obviously, this year's draft class has sort of been marked by the tools at the top end. Last year's was more the midfielders and the half forwards. What's the early take on the 2019 group and as a demographic, I guess, in terms of the players available? How does it look?
Got good talls and good smalls. it's been pleasing. Like, obviously, the last few weeks we've had a few jump up from the academy too. Hudson Garoni's kicked bags the last 2 weeks, which has been really pleasing. Bailey Williams kicked seven or eight
last week for Danny
the other week, and Riley Bowman also hit the scoreboard for Danny. So there's some really good talls in the draft. We ran a talls camp a few weeks ago that was really successful. That showed that there was a couple of others that are going to be decent players. Jacob Gazitsky.
Yep.
From Murray. Murray had three or four. Marriott, Ben Kelly. So there was a number of players, the coming twins who have been doing a really good job for
NT
in the academy series. So there's some really good talls, and as always, you generally get enough smalls. But those guys are doing really well with a really good mix between inside mids and outside mids.
Now Cal's really sad because it could be the last academy tour, so or it may have been.
Well, we talked about this on the podcast last week.
He wasn't on.
Exactly. So my run's over.
His run's gone. He's been given the boot, but talk about some of the potential changes that might be coming in for the academy potentially next year.
Yeah, so obviously at the moment it's only a proposal that still has to go through a number of channels. But basically what it's about is being able to give more opportunities to more players. And I guess not only are we going to see the benefits, possibly see the benefits of that for the AFL, but also, for all the leagues underneath that underpin the AFL. So that's something that we're conscious of. We're also conscious of making sure that there's these Australian experiences so the best of the best can still get together and be able to play and train together. But basically it's I guess about being able to take some off the top to feed back and to put more players into better programs and with a curriculum so that once they do eventually or hopefully get to senior football, no matter what level, they're more able to transition seamlessly.
Cool. All right. Very quickly before we let you go, Luke, we're just going to go through some performances from the weekend. Some standout performances, really. And Jack Bartel was one of those, 32 touches and 10 tackles for the Calder Cannons, following 37 touches the week before. So he's in some form. Lockie Scholl was very good for the Cannons too. He's a half-back runner, 21 touches. Curtis Taylor continues to get his 20 and a goal most weeks. For the Falcons that same game, Baxter Mensch, father-son, to the Cats, 35 touches and a goal. Sam Walsh, who's mentioned him, 34 and a goal. And Oscar Brownless, 30 and two goals. A couple of academy boys in there, in Bartel and Taylor. They've built into their years, haven't they? Because I think sort of Jack Bartel was a little bit disappointed how he started the year, but has come back in some stunning fashion the past fortnight.
Yeah, I mean, Jack's as good as any young player around the contest. He's got a great awareness of where the other bodies are around the contest and can work his way through traffic really well as an inside mid. Can also go forward and take a mark and kick a goal, Jack. So, he's tracking really well. Obviously, he was probably quiet at the start of the year by his standards, but I reckon in the early games there was still enough to say that he's going all right. And Curtis is one of those half forwards that doesn't fumble and really clean. One of the better front and square players I've seen in the pathways, and obviously takes his opportunities when he gets them. I thought he presented really well in the North Melbourne game too.
He's had a very good start to the year. For the Gippy boys, Xavier Dersma had 23 and kicked a goal. Sandy, I went and watched on Saturday morning, Nat and Luke, and Bailey Smith had 11 touches in the first quarter, finished with 28 and two goal and six tackles, and did cop a little bit of attention, a lot of close attention from his opponents there at Western, but they were two good Western. Xavier O'Halloran, if I can spit that out, 22 touches and a goal. Zach Butters was pretty good too, smaller type, 17 touches and two goals. Some more numbers for the great at Western Victoria Rebels. Tom Berry, the brother of Jared Berry, had 22 and a goal, as you mentioned before, but Hudson Garoni followed up his eight goals the previous week with five for Murray. Connor Rosie in the sample had 11 touches, a senior game, which is a, and two goals,
which
is a pretty good start for him for this year. Jack Lukosch, as we've mentioned him already, 15 touches and 8 marks. Just doing it on the bit, really, Jack, at the moment. And Jackson Hatley, who we haven't talked about too much, but I've really seen him come of age, I guess, since the January trip, and then he played well in that academy game in against North Melbourne. He had 20 touches and 7 tackles at senior level, and he's looking really comfortable at that level too.
He is. I mean, I've sort of knew from when I first started working with Jackson that he was going to be a really good player. He's 190, and he runs. He gets up and back, kicks goals, and he's doing that at senior level for Central District. So, you know, I guess it's not a surprise to me, because I know that the type of kid he is and how hard he works, and also he's got some genuine talent. So really good in traffic, big body, and look forward to seeing him have a really good national championships.
Good kid too, the son of the school principal and the school captain, as I think we've mentioned on the show before. So that'd be interesting. How'd you go with that scenario? If you're a school captain and your dad was school principal.
Well, his old man's pretty cool, so.
All right.
Yeah, Nick's a pretty cool principal, so I reckon it'll be all right. So, yeah, I was going to say that he was my pet, but he's probably the pet of a couple. So, yeah.
Twitter questions, we may as well roll through them.
All right, why not?
Do you want to punch them out?
I'll read them out. Madison asks, hey, Cal, how far does King slide post his ACL?
Max King, I don't think he slides too far. I think he's still in the top five. It's just a matter of which club has the picks there. For me, I don't think he's going to drop too far.
He slides to a lucky club. Yeah,
I think they're about the only people who are very happy, could be potentially happy about the injury. The clubs who finish with the pick five or six, who there's a chance he gets there now where there's no chance before.
To put Max King in context, Max and Ben, I won't separate them. I've never seen kids of their size be able to recover so quickly when the ball hits the ground. It's actually pretty impressive.
How tall are they?
200 plus.
Yeah, 201.
Yep.
I'm not going to stand next to them ever. Because imagine me interviewing one of them on draft night. I'm going to need a stepladder. Yeah. I'll order one. Luke wants to know, who will St Kilda get with pick one, Cal?
He's given up already.
Well, there are Brisbane and Carlton's on the bottom of the ladder currently, Luke. So, you know.
Third last at the moment.
That wasn't from me, by the way.
No, it wasn't. Who could they get? They get a really good midfielder in Sam Walsh, Jack Lukosius, if they finish that low. Look, they've got a number of options there, and they shouldn't go too far wrong if they finish with a top five pick.
Is Jack still your pick for one at the moment?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not by a lot, but yeah.
Simon has tweeted in, how many SA boys will go in the top 20?
Well, I think Rankin goes in there, Lukosius goes in there, Rosie goes in there, Hatley goes in there, and Tom Lewis is maybe a chance. Inside midfielder who can find a fair bit of the footy. He's done a really good job so far this season. He's a possibility. So four at least, and maybe five, maybe six sneaks in there as surprises as the year goes on. Wait for the champs, no?
Marcus wants to know, hey, Cal and Nat. Thanks,
oh, you got
thanks
a mention.
Marcus. I finally got a mention. Bloody hell.
And Luke.
Is Jack Lukosius a once-in-a-generation player, and do you think he would be a good fit for Carlton?
Oh, well, he's a good fit for anyone. I think he's a good fit for anyone, Luke. And as for the once-in-a-generation stuff, he's very special. And I think we were talking before, his movement, just like the Kings, and his foot skills probably make him a really special player.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few in this pool like that who have just got unbelievable attributes that key position players in the AFL can't do. So, he's a very accomplished player. I mean, he's playing decent senior footy already in a key position post, so that's pretty impressive.
Do you need to temper, all the hype and words like a once-in-a-generation player, you need to temper those sort of things with Jack a little bit?
To tell you the truth, not really with the kids in this group.
Yep.
You know, they sort of have a pretty good understanding of where it's at, and they know and they're conscious that they need to be just as involved and about what's happening off the field as they do with what's happening on the field.
This next tweet is from Dragon Energy. How fast is Jackson Hatley climbing up the draft, and when will we know exactly how live trading on draft night will work? Surely clubs need to know ASAP as they consider re-signings and list management decisions.
Hatley, as we mentioned, is in that top 20 for me at the moment. As for the rest of the live trading on draft night, I think they're still working out the mechanics of all that. Obviously, the AFL sent over three representatives to go to the NFL draft. I think Ken Wood, Simon Murphy, and Another one. I forgot.
What a junket.
How come you two didn't get asked to go on that one?
Put our hands up.
We've got the relationships over there.
Josh Vandal as well was the other one who went over and just sort of sussed out the glitz and the glamour of it all. But I think they're still a little way off from deciding on how that's all going to work. Hopefully the sooner the better, though, because I agree you'd want to get it sorted soon.
Cam wants to know, what draft range do Jack Bytel and Bailey Smith fall in? Assume it's outside 1 to 5. Would they be in the 6 to 10 bracket?
I don't think so. I think they're a little bit further back in the pool, but Bailey Smith's probably ahead of Jack for me at the moment, but Jack may be early 20s and Bailey may be in that first round. Luke's shaking his head, wondering.
I love Luke's facial expressions when you're going through all this.
He's not going to put a number on him, but that's all right.
I don't put numbers on him. I mean, it only takes one club. So,
that is true.
And also a need. Bailey's one of the better, probably outside runners. He can go inside too, Bailey, so he's pretty complete. But one of the better outside runners, and Jack's one of the better inside.
Yeah, he's a bit of a base Jack
so
too, yeah.
If a club, you know, is in need of that, then, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they went quite early. Yeah.
And the last Twitter question.
This is why I kept Luke in for this one.
Is for Pat. Cal, thoughts on the battle between St. Kevin's and Haileybury on the weekend? Saw a good midfield battle and also loved your kit that you had going on.
Yes. See?
What were you wearing?
I was wearing just what I normally wear. I was just wearing an Adidas jacket.
Luke, what did you really think about it?
He was wearing the same kit he's got.
No.
So he hasn't been home for like 3 days.
No, I thought the kit was fine. It's just an Adidas and a hat.
Do you think Cal's fashion is questionable at times?
It's unique. Yeah, that's unique, but that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool to be unique.
Yeah,
It was a good game, by the way, Skevs and Haileybury, I must say.
Can we get back to that?
Yeah. I'll tell you who took my eye. James Rowbottom was very good for Skevs. Alistair Richards came into it in the third quarter, so did Riley West. But James Rowbottom for Skevs and a little fella who we both liked, Cody Waitman, a bottom major. He starred for Haileybury. He was on fire.
He's got a bit of speed. Stingrays, yep. Bottom age, I think. Mark Wheeler, I was quickly on the phone.
Oh, yeah?
Sent a cheeky little text to Mark.
He took the eye.
He said, I'm all over it. He looked really good. No, Mitch Reardon was good too from the Stingrays.
The more important question out of that, Cal, is what free food did you get
at
the
plenty,
game?
Plenty.
Yeah, but what?
Chicken
talk,
sandwiches.
Talk us through the
chicken
array.
Sandwiches. There's like patisties. You know what? And then they bring out the lemon slice at the end.
Is this halftime?
Halftime, yeah.
Did you miss out?
Not under that.
No, halftime upstairs.
And Cal can sniff a free feed from a kilometre away.
It's the only reason I go to the APS games.
It's probably where he gets his best stories.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversations up
there. All right, before we finish up, quickly, your song of the week.
Yeah, quickly, the song of the week is The End by DMAs.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
My favourite band in Australia. I actually had a night out with them a couple of weeks ago, but that's a story for another night. But they are Australia's best
blokes. We'll do a separate breakout podcast on this.
You could. It's been they're a great bunch of guys, and their album is outstanding.
Are they fans of Road to the Draft?
One of them actually are. Johnny Took actually asked me, and he said, how's journalism going, mate? I'm like, yeah. That was the second time I met him.
Oh my God.
He's all over it. Anyway,
beautiful.
Maybe he's tuning in.
Dawes had a song of the same name, didn't they? The End.
The End, yep. This one's better.
Luke, thank you so much for coming in and putting up with us for about 40 minutes or so. We really appreciate your time, and hopefully we can get you back in on another podcast a little bit later down the road.
Appreciate it. Thanks for your support.
All right, Cal.
We'll be back next week.
Thanks to you. Enjoy the DMAs.
Yeah, we'll see you.